Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And J-Doo.
And, of course, there's a lot in the news to talk about. The so-called government shutdown is looming. If we get a chance, we can fill you in on that. Unless, of course, they save it, you know, from shutting down within the next day or so.
I've been getting teased about shutdowns, you know, every 4 years, it seems like, for my entire life.
And it never really comes through in any sort of meaningful sense. But something that I've been holding on to here, Jay, for, I don't know, a few weeks now, caught my attention because I know you, one of the things you love talking about is the addiction that not just the average person, the average millennial or Gen X or whoever has to a device like a cell phone or tablet or something like that, but especially children and parents who have used and are using electronic devices like a cell phone or a tablet with their, you know, infants, you know, in many cases, as soon as they come out of the womb, they're slapping a cell phone in their hand and, you know, to distract them from whatever, instead of sitting them in front of, like in the 1990s, it was Barney, right?
Yep.
Like you'd sit the kids in front of the television and let the television do the babysitting. Now it's Apple and Android and, you know, apps and things like that. So I know this is going to interest you. It's about a town that, not in the United States, because I don't think this would fly in the United States, but over in the UK, a town apparently actually banned children from accessing smartphones.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I was just talking to a young lady who I met at Porkfest this year, and she is...
Like a woman or like a child or what?
No, she's 24 years old.
She have kids?
Nope, she doesn't have kids. But she definitely really wants to have kids. She's got a man about her age that she's with. You know, she's got some good values, raised by good people. And anyways, she went to school for like a lot of these neurological type things, and she wants to help me out with you know, really getting my message across to people in simple terms that they can understand it. You know, this series of lectures. Talked to her for about an hour on the phone today. It was really good. We were talking about the internet addiction and stuff like that, but with the and she said that she was she moved here to New Hampshire for the Free State Project. She lives up in north of here, and she went to a Vivek Ramaswamy meetup or meet and greet or town hall or something he was doing, and she brought up about internet addiction, and he said that he would like to basically make it illegal for kids under 16 to use. Like social media. And she says, well, if you look at all social media, kids, you know, under a certain age, depending on which one, aren't supposed to be on it. But still, 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds are accessing it.
They're there anyway.
You know, and it's like, what are you supposed to do? You know, make sure that you're the 14-year-old or the 16-year-old has some kind of state-issued ID to make sure they're on social media. And then
That's a scary idea.
Right, which I don't like that. And then all you got is the... you know, you got VPN. So, like, you know, I was talking about how in China has, there's a different TikTok for Chinese kids than there is for, like, American. Well, the American TikTok is way more popular with the Chinese youth, and all they do is, with Autonomy Unlimited, autonomy.com, Richard Grove and a bunch of guys, I got this really good, you know, thing that's actually doing a lot of good for America. We should really talk about Autonomy Unlimited more often, because they're being super helpful, but they're training people essentially to come out of their shell, to be their best, to be go-getters instead of just, you know, working a corporate job, to be like, they're encouraging entrepreneurship. Anyways, so I'm working on with those guys on my lecture presentation. So I did a lecture presentation a while ago. And one of the guys that was in the audience was kind of like a, test audience. He's in China. And he's been in China for a long time. And I mentioned that, well, in China, there's, they don't have access to American TikTok. And the Chinese TikTok is all about engineering and, like building, building the intellect and the skill set. And
it doesn't have a bunch of stupid crap.
Right. So it's not addictive, repetitive, kitten things and, these stupid
dancing videos,
quick, free dopamine hit deals. So, and he goes, well, but all the kids are getting around that, and they're all, and the, he was basically saying that best he can tell that the American form of TikTok is more popular in China than the Chinese TikTok for the Chinese youth, because basically any 12-year-old has, been messing with a tablet or has had free time on any of these devices for any amount of time. I happen to know one of these, 12-year-olds who's, got a lot of device time, and I can call him up when I have some kind of issue. Or I'll call his dad, and he goes, oh, my son will tell you how to do that, and, right. Hand him the phone, and he walks me through it. But his dad's an IT guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, the kids are sharp. They know how to get around these VPNs. They know how to, access whatever is going to get their dopamine hit. So, when these parents are like, I'm like, oh, you got a 12-year-old boy. Do you let him use the internet? Oh, yeah, he's got his own computer. He's got his own tablet and a smartphone. And I said, so, like, his brain is, he's developing right now attraction. What kind of woman he's going to be attracted to the rest of his life? That's kind of what's going on when you're 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother's like, oh, my son doesn't do that. And the dad, like, he can't even respond to me. He's horrified. This is actually a conversation I had with some people at Porkfest. And he's like, because his dad just knows, he just knew. And the mom's like, oh, no, my son would never do that. And the father was, yeah. So just like, and the thing is, the problem with the internet devices and all these internet companies is they all got major government contracts and subsidies. And this is why they're all in the position of power that they are. And they're actually, I believe they're more powerful than the governments. They're actually probably, controlling the governments, but, they don't want, Google and AI doesn't want they're in control.
The technocracy,
yes.
I think what they call it. I want to come back around to what you said about this Vivek Ramaswamy guy.
Oh, right, yep.
Saying to people he wants to ban children or young people under the age of 16 from using social media.
And I'm paraphrasing when I say that, but I didn't hear him say that. This is what this girl said to me. So
I've heard that as well. I mean, I've not heard it directly from him, but I've also heard that he is in support of something like that, and I think you've identified correctly some of the problems with that, right? Like, so even though you as a parent are very critical of using devices as children, etc., and the potential damage that it could do, you've talked extensively here on Free Talk Live about that, but you wouldn't support an actual ban on it.
You're not in
favor of that. You understand the ramifications of a ban on that could actually make things worse in the United States as far as personal freedoms, as far as the freedom to raise your country. Because if you tell the government, yes, tell me how to raise my kids, then they're gonna. And they're gonna come up with all kinds of rules. I mean, they've already got plenty of them. Well, they're gonna add even more to it. And then now we're talking about jail time for parents if they let their kids go on, some sort of social media. If you disagree with parents and how they raise their kids, that's fine, but that's as far as it should go.
Oh, yeah.
It's a simple conversation, the attempt to persuade. You can work, and you do this when you're on the show regularly. You're trying to persuade parents by convincing them that maybe not allowing their kids on all the time is a really good idea. Maybe using it on a special occasion is okay, but having them constantly on these devices may be a problem. But empowering the state through being able to, like you said, create some sort of child ID or whatever the enforcement mechanism would look like in order to stop, or at least attempt to stop young people from using social media. You want to talk about empowering the tech bros or the technocracy?
Oh, right.
That would absolutely do it.
I just see banning children from using social media is going to be like saying that they can't have alcohol till they're 21.
Right.
It's
going to
be like saying you can't have this particular substance because it's, does whatever
great point.
It be like a drug or something.
How many young people, when they turn 21, have never had a drink before?
Very few.
It's got to be like less than 1% of them.
And a lot of young people, before they're 21, they're sneaking to drinks. They're sneaking a drink.
Right.
You know, it's, and it's sort of like a goal. You know, it's because it's not supposed to happen. You know, a lot of people are, you know, it brings out the rebellious part
it's
of them
the
and they just
fruit.
Want to do it.
Yeah.
And then when they become 21, it's like, oh, I can just drink all I want. And I've seen so many young people, you know, my age, younger mm-hmm. than me, a little older than me, that, I believe because it was a culture of where you had to sneak it, and then it became fun. It became like a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it became you could do it whenever you want because alcohol is super cheap.
Yeah,
and
it's everywhere,
and it's super addictive, and it's super destructive.
Yep.
That a lot of people have just gone, you know, and they're partying every weekend.
Sure,
and then you know they're. They're 45 years old and they're wondering why they have all these health problems and they get hammered mm-hmm. every weekend, you know, people like that. And then they're, you know, every day after work, they're not getting hammered maybe, but they're, you know, having several alcoholic beverages.
So we know prohibition doesn't work. Alcohol
right.
prohibition didn't work. Drug prohibition didn't work. Prohibiting people from moving from point A to point B doesn't work. And prohibiting people from using phones is also not going to work. However, there's an example here from the-sun.com. It says it's one of the toughest decisions faced by parents when to give in to their younger children's constant demands for a smartphone. Startling recent figures from communications regulator Ofcom, this is again in the UK, shows that 20% of kids have a smartphone by the age of 3.
That is so sick.
1 out of 5 children.
Now, this is in the UK?
In the UK.
Yeah.
And that rises to 55% between the ages of 8 and 11. According to the story here, the residents of one seaside town in Ireland, however, have decided they don't want their little ones to spend their most formative years peering into a tiny LCD screen. The entire parent population of Greystones in County Wicklow got together to agree not to buy smartphones for their kids until they were in secondary school. I presume that's the equivalent of a middle school or high school.
This sounds like a voluntary thing of all these people not agreeing. I kind of like what I've heard so far.
Yeah, if it is indeed voluntary, as they say, it says the entire parent population. So if that's true, then that's fine.
Here's what's really cool about that. So you're like, hey, we're not going to let my friends use. I'm not going to let my kids use cocaine. I mean, internet devices. And you know, if you look, this is what they're referring to these things as: digital cocaine. It does the same exact thing to the mm-hmm. brain. It stimulates the same exact part of the brain. So what's nice about that is, like, you know, for example, like, you know, my wife and I will do like the intermittent fasting for 5 days in a row together.
Okay.
And it's pretty easy when we're both on the same page. You know, because it's kind of hard to intermittent fast when, you know, you got a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old and you're cooking them eggs at 8 o'clock in the morning.
You smell those eggs and you're like, my God.
And, you know, but you're not going to eat until 2:30 in the afternoon or 3 o'clock.
It's a lot easier when there's not food cooking all around
you. But it's also a lot easier when, you know, my wife and I are kind of on the same page and doing it together.
Yeah, sure.
So if everybody in town is sort of agreeing with each other, they're not going to use devices, and then somebody in town starts using a device or letting their kids use a device, you could be like, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? Well, you know, what we really got to get into about the devices is why are parents leaning on devices? But we'll get into that after you read a little bit.
Sure. So 8 of the primary schools in town, which is 15 miles south of Dublin, had already stopped their pupils from bringing the electronic devices into the learning environment. But the school parent associations then went further by initiating a voluntary ban among themselves. It is what they call a revolutionary approach, which would likely be welcomed by parents in Britain as well. A survey by Vodafone this week revealed that choosing when to give a child their first mobile phone was as tough for some parents as selecting the right school to send their children to. And in July, the United Nations Education, Science, and Culture Agency, UNESCO, called for phones to be banned from classrooms across the world. When the Sun visited Greystones, the locals were grateful for the chance to free youngsters from the pressure to be permanently connected to social media. Anja Schubert, who had lived in the town for 25 years, says, I signed up. It gives me another 3 years for my daughter to not have a smartphone. I suppose the majority of people would feel under pressure to buy a phone for their child because their peers have it. So the more kids that don't have one, the easier it is for us. And she makes a good point there. I mean, peer pressure is a thing. It's a real thing, not just among kids, but among adults as well. And if your kids go into a school, which of course you shouldn't send your kids to government school in the first place, but wherever it is your kids are spending time, if all of their friends have the thing, in this case, the smart device, then the pressure's really going to be on because they're going to want to play Angry Birds with their, you know, or whatever it is that the thing is. They want them to join their TikTok channel or whatever, and if your kid doesn't have the device, then they will feel left out of the social circle. On the other hand, if none of the kids have the device, then they're going out and, like, playing tag or whatever it is that, you know, kids used to do back in the old days.
So that's one of the biggest things I have. There's about a network of parents I've been in communication with now for basically, like, 2 years. And it's sort of all real started. A lot of this started last year at Porkfest. You know, so it'll be Porkfest 2022. I just, you know, was really just saying to everybody I was talking to, well, I was cooking at that Porkfest.
Talk to a lot of people when you're cooking there.
Right. And I'm like, get your kids off the internet. No devices. Oh, you don't let your kids do devices. Nope. Because there's like people right in front of me that are like, I know them. I love them. They're good people. Mm-hmm. You know, I've known them for, I only see them at Porkfest usually. And, you know, the kid's like, you know, in a stroller and it's got a phone in front of them. I'm like, I'm like, dude, don't, you know, I go, so another friend of mine, he's got a 6 year old last year. I think, you know, so the kid was seven this year. And, he's like, oh, I don't know. I got to get the kid off the internet device. I'm like, all right, well, you're at Porkfest, so there should be no internet at Porkfest. No internet while you're camping. And when you get home, the internet device doesn't come out. It doesn't work. So, like, my daughter, to get her off the pacifier, what we started doing was only allowing her to have the pacifier in the car. And then last winter, so she was just, you know, coming 3 years old. Last winter, when we go down to visit my mom, we left the pacifier at home. And we get to a totally different environment. You know, we get to my mom's house. You know, we flew on a plane for a few hours. There's no pacifier. So if you can, you know, take it really seems like 72 hours is like the key for like a lot of the younger kids.
Like breaking somebody of a smoking habit.
Yep. So if we can keep them off devices. So like some real good ideas. A lot of people have grandma and grandpas that don't have devices. Go to grandpa's farm or whatever, grandma's house for a while, or go camping. And just,
new simulations, new synapses are firing. Right?
Leave the device there. And so, but the thing is
that was the point, by the way, of going camping back in the day. Like, I remember in the 1990s when I was growing up, going camping, the whole point was to get away from television, to get away from the phone,
and
to get away from
games.
All that stuff.
So, but the problem is now all the campgrounds are set up with Wi-Fi and 5G and your phone to work everywhere. Right. And then you're at campgrounds, and half the people are, you know, sitting at picnic tables. I was just at another campground. I was over there helping a friend fix their camper, and I noticed, like, so many people just, like, sitting there, you know, with, you know, and couples and kids, and they're all on a device.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting at a picnic table at the campground. So anyways, I tell these, you know, and I've been in communication with these parents, and, you know, how's it going? So, oh, it was really good. We got home. There's no internet. And, you know, we started, so the thing I suggested was like, reading books. So one guy, he's got a 4 year old and had been using had his own tablet that grandma got him the tablet. So, and she had a tablet for like a year and I'm like, well, just start reading your 4 year old a book. And it actually, like, the transition was a little rough going into the book. I don't want the book. I want my tablet. I don't want the book. I want my tablet. But when they started reading a book at Porkfest, they're like day number three, because they would let the kid, I guess, watch videos of some whatever, and he really thought it was okay because it was approved by like this education association, it was approved by like this whatever child welfare group or something, you know, these videos, whatever, they're children approved, so. So that transitioning to the book and reading and books that are like interesting,
like a physical book, like
physical
one
paperback
pages.
Book. Every morning, my kids are like, "Dad, read a book." Every night, "Dad, read a book." I read a lot, and it's really good. So and so that was a good transition, reading the book. But as soon as the kid would see somebody with a device, the kid was like, you know, it be like an alcoholic, you know, walking into a bar and can't drink.
Hey, man, can I bum your device?
So the kid will, like, you're really getting just upset, you know, at 4 years old. So, and actually, a guy I met with a couple of days ago, I was sitting there with my daughter, and he goes, before I take my phone out of my pocket, because he needed to read me something off his phone, he goes, are you okay with your kid seeing internet devices? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. You know.
Nice of him to ask.
Yeah, I was the first time I was ever at, and this guy had no idea the stuff I'm into. We just met for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And so he was like, you know, I filled him in a little about my investing in our posterity thing I'm working on. He liked it. So, but he says, yeah, he has six or seven close families that he, you know, regularly, you know, meets with or does fellowship with or friends with or whatever. And they don't want anybody bringing any kind of phone into their house.
Mm-hmm.
No device, no internet, nothing. And then what they're going to do is basically when their kid's about 12 or 13 years old, they'll let them start using computer, like, but not something like
not hooked a phone.
Up.
Okay.
Yep, not a smartphone, but mm-hmm. like a computer to do things, to do research, do typing. And also, you know, like even something I'm going to buy if I see it at a tag sale or something, I'm going to buy an encyclopedia. Set if Jeez. I come across one.
Yeah.
Seriously, because I
think they still make those.
They still make them, but you can get them pretty inexpensive every now and then. And I, over the years, I've passed up a few, and I like, I don't know where I'm going to put all that, but now, like, I have a real
You'll
good
make
purpose.
Room for it. Yeah.
Well, I have a purpose for it now, because this is how I want to teach my kids how to do research, is by flipping through pages and reading things. So anyways, where was I going with this? So the internet devices, there's a lot of people are awake to this. Oh, the big problem is, so they go camping, the kid gets off the internet device, and then all of a sudden, and one guy says to me, well, when they went back to school, their friend had it. I'm like, why are you sending your kid to school? So the problem is like, when you, like, I don't know if you've ever been to any AA meetings, but no. I've had some, I have gone to many, many AA meetings since I was about 17 years old. Friends, girlfriends, relatives.
They let you bring guests?
Well, so I would go as like a support.
Okay.
And then I also had a few friends that were having a hard time with opiates, so I would go to NA meetings with them.
Okay.
But the biggest thing they push is you just cannot hang around those people that are doing that, that are
Absolutely.
Drinking and drugging. And it's really got to be the same thing for your kids. So like my kids, I don't let my kids hang out or interact with kids that use internet devices.
Makes sense.
And I'm not going to. And I have friends that are, like, very offended about this.
Well, too bad.
Right.
There's more to talk about here, especially with, you know, what exactly happened. Because we know that this town in Ireland, Greystones is what it's called, they say that the parents agreed to not purchase phones, smartphones, for their kids until they got into what's called secondary school. And I'm presuming that's like their equivalent of middle school or
Probably.
Maybe early high school or something. So we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what was the result of this? The number here is 603-283-6160. As always, you can join the show here and bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live. We got more coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News update. House Republicans kicked off the first hearing in their impeachment probe of President Biden today. They're examining potential improper gains from his son Hunter's foreign business dealings during his vice presidency.
President Biden has lied to the American people about his knowledge of and participation in his family's corrupt business schemes.
Committee Chair James Comer alleges Biden misused his position for family financial benefit, but Democrat Jamie Raskin dismisses it as a baseless and debunked accusation. Some heated moments on Capitol Hill when Congressman Matt Gaetz clashed with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy today in a closed-door meeting regarding a government shutdown. Gaetz and other conservatives are urging McCarthy to incorporate substantial spending cuts in any government funding bill. And a recent study in the Journal of Adolescent Health reveals that teenagers with parents who regularly drink are four times more likely to engage in drinking. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man aged 45 non-tobacco user. $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Talking about prohibiting your children from accessing smartphones and other various computing devices up to a certain age. Under what circumstances should it be allowed? One town in Ireland, apparently voluntarily, the parents came together and pledged to not purchase any smart device for their kids until a certain age. We'll talk more about that coming up here. It's Ian and Jay in the studio tonight. Free Talk Live, and this hour of the show is brought to you by Dash. It's digital cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. If you're tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar or the other central bank currencies, maybe you don't live in the U.S., you've got the same problem where you are if you've got a central bank. You can live your life on Dash instead, but you probably could use some useful websites like bitrefill.com to help you with that. BitRefill has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount, so you can buy gift cards for, I don't know, 100-plus different businesses there. Very, very handy stuff. Now, what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can help you do that, at least in the United States. I don't know if Spritz is available outside. I've heard they're working on Canada. But if you're in the U.S., you can definitely use Spritz.finance to pay your bills. And you can even use it to convert your Dash into dollars. If you, for whatever reason, still need those things, you can get dollars to your bank account thanks to Spritz.finance. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. It's widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and it's in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. And you can start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending Free Talk Live 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. As we go to the phones here, we have Sheriff David Hathaway is with us. He is from Santa Cruz County down there in Arizona. Welcome back to the show, David. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, good evening, Jay and Ian. We're just sitting in the Tucson airport now, getting ready to fly out to New Hampshire, and I just got the disgusting privilege of watching a TSA employee grope my wife. You know, it's either that or the naked body scanner. I just really never like to fly, but, we wanted to come back. But it's so horrible, and all the conflicting instructions and the pompousness and the arrogance and everything like that. But anyway, we just got done with that. But the main thing I was calling is we just got done watching. We actually watched them a couple of times, two videos. The one of the Free Talk Live studios getting raided, and that was just so disgusting. You could see you guys being drug out early morning just with, like nightgown, and you can see little flakes of snow in the air. And just looking at the damage that they did and then smashing the cameras, security cameras, so there's no evidence what they're doing, and ripping that window off the frame, and, watching the little dog just run around out there. But anyway,
it was horrible.
People should really want. Yeah, and just the background music that you selected, it was like some fascist. I don't know, either sound like a Soviet rally or a
Hitler
Movie
Youth
rally.
Yeah, you got it.
Whatever it was, it was.
Actually, it was two tracks. One of them was like a Russian kind of Soviet sounding track, and then another one was a fascist one from like the Nazi regime. So there was actually two tracks in there. On that video.
Yeah, and if anybody hasn't seen that, I can't remember if that was on the Crypto6.com website.
I'm pretty sure
or where
it's there,
that
yeah.
was.
The Crypto6.com, yeah.
But that it was unbelievable, and just to see the disgusting, all these guys with their little goofy little tactical nonsense decked out, just looking like they're in some foreign war invading
yeah.
some...
By the way, their excuse for that, so we got to actually play this video in the trial. Unfortunately, the jury didn't seem to care. But we did play the video actually more than once during the trial, and it was addressed by some of the states or the government witnesses, and they claimed that they needed to come in that way, using dozens of armed agents, two Bearcats, battering rams, that sort of thing, taking, like you said, windows out completely, smashing them in. I believe there was at least one smoke or flashbang used. And they said this was all necessary because their research had revealed that my roommate, Matt, who's been on the show on occasion on Thursday nights, he has guns. Even though he's never been convicted or charged with any sort of violent crime, he has all of his guns completely legally kept. He even has, like, ATF registrations for certain things that he has. Like, he's completely on the record, completely legal with that stuff. But that was their excuse. Oh, he has guns, so we have to use maximum force. It was absolutely ridiculous.
It was disgusting. It was obvious that they didn't want any evidence to survive what they did. Like, and I don't know how it did survive. You can see them after the entry smashing cameras, trying to destroy anything that would capture an image of what they're doing. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you were able to preserve or retain, or maybe you lost some.
I was amazed they sent them back. They had taken the recording devices, right? So that when they actually went through the house, they snatched the hard drive computers. They're just little computers, right, these days, these camera systems. So they snatched the actual recording decks, and amazingly, they sent them back to me in 2021.
Wow, that's great. And another thing we really enjoyed was Bonnie's boldness. We were so impressed on her parking ticket, her $15 parking ticket. And the spiel that she gave to, you know, like, what's your authority here and how do you have authority? Who do you work for? Oh, I don't work for anybody, you know. And it's like, okay, who signed your paycheck? Oh, nobody signs my paycheck. I got an electronic. Well, where does it come from? it was great, and maybe nobody in the
courtroom.
Yeah,
she really had
that
judge on the ropes. Like, he was smooth in the way that he tried to dodge her, but you could tell he was reaching.
Yeah, and the way he spliced the whole thing together, like some kind of clerk or bureaucrat behind a window, and she's telling, you know, don't film me or don't film my desk and don't this and that. And it was neat how it was all edited together, and there was some overlaid, commentaries on it stuff. But we really enjoyed that, too.
Oh, good.
Do it, going to all that for just a $15 ticket. You know, if more people would do that, like, that stuff would, they'd be less like, and then the, whatever she was, meter maid or whatever, she seemed like totally clueless, like nobody had ever fought her on anything, you know, just like,
oh no, she's been in that seat. Yeah. She's been in that seat many a time, or at least a few other times, because Bonnie's certainly not the first person to fight a parking ticket up here, but you could tell she had an attitude about it. Like, she's rolling her eyes and making faces when Bonnie was asking.
And why should I have to explain any of this? Why should I have to explain how the kiosk interfaces with the parking meter or with anything else? Like, why are you even daring to question my authority? Right. But anyway, that was really impressive.
Thanks. I'll let her know you said that.
I think we're about 10 minutes from boarding. Here we go to Phoenix, and then connect Phoenix to Boston, and then we got a rental car. So
we'll
be seeing you guys in a couple days, maybe.
It's going to be a late night. You're coming in tonight?
Yeah, it's going to arrive. We sit in Phoenix for, I think, about 4 hours, and then it's an overnight flight. We arrive at 5-something in the morning in Boston, and then get our rental car, and then go to...
Go sleep.
Yeah. So anyway, it's going to be fun, though. We've never been to New England, so it's going to be a fun trip.
Well, it'll be great seeing you up here, and if you get the chance, come on out and see us on Sunday before the hearing. You're coming up, for listeners that don't know, after the sentencing hearing on Monday. It's at federal court in Concord, New Hampshire at 10 a.m. If you're going to be in New England, come on out and see us. I would appreciate anybody that shows up. And in case of David here, he's coming from across the country. So, but we have things that we have things we do on Sundays here in Keene. I know you said you're staying in the Keene area, so.
Is that the 420 thing? Or
there's a 420 at Railroad Square in downtown Keene, and then there's the 5:30 Social Sunday, which will probably have a lot of visitors. As I understand it, some people are coming out from Manchester, so there's probably going to be 20 people.
I think that listed like maybe an Indian restaurant and some alternative thing. Yeah, and like Karen, she's crocheting all the time, so she made you and Bonnie each a crocheted animal. She does. She's always crocheting. She makes like an animal every day. I think she made a donkey for you with a sombrero on it, and I think she made a bear for Bonnie. But
all right. Hey, Sheriff. Anyway. I want to thank you for the letter we got about 4 or 5 days ago, I think it was, from you. My wife opened it and read it, and she was very touched. So I just wanted to let you know that, and I told her we were going to be visiting with you when you come up here. So we're looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, we are too. Okay, talk to you later,
guys.
Thanks,
man. Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Coming all the way from the southern border there, the border town, or I think it's Nogales, which is in Santa Cruz County, that come up for not just to visit New England, but also to attend my sentencing, which is really, really kind. And he wrote a letter as well, which is awesome. You know, it's always nice to have a letter to a judge coming from Sheriff, you know, letterhead, right? Let's continue here. We got Dave Ridley. He's on the line from RidleyReport.com, also calling from New Hampshire. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, just a reminder that the sentencing activities begin, they start at 8:30 a.m. on Monday, so you want to get there at 8:30.
Oh, you're talking about, I heard there might be like some sort of an event going on outside. Some activists are planning on holding signs and things like that starting at 8:30 is what you're saying, right?
Right. It should be I've scheduled a demonstration for 8:30. Cool. I don't know how many of us will be there, but just a reminder that's the time to focus on. If you're coming all the way out there, you might as well get there at the beginning. But I was actually calling about something else, and I guess there is a... I would call him a New Hampshire Liberty activist and or Free Stater. I think he's probably both.
who is suing Massachusetts over their gun laws.
You're talking about Bear Arms?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess, as I understand it, he was charged. He said he had firearms in his, or he was charged with having firearms in his own property.
Yes.
And so he's trying to create some sort of a, it looks like a, I don't know if I'd call it class action lawsuit, but he's looking for other plaintiffs to join the suit. So he's suing it at the federal level against the state's, you know, the Massachusetts sort of draconian gun laws.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, Bear Arms is a real go-getter. He's an excellent activist. He's new to the area up here. As I understand it, he is a Free Stater, but having spent a lot of time apparently down in Massachusetts, he's a doctor down there, and he's also a big gun rights activist who, as you said, was arrested for shooting guns on his own property with his children. Which should be his right to do, and he clarified, because he came on the show with us, with Jay and I, a few weeks, maybe like 3 weeks ago at this point, and he clarified that it is not the same thing legally to bear arms, which is your right, as it is to
carry arms.
Carry a firearm.
Carry
which
a
is
firearm.
A legal term, and he says that that has to do, carrying a firearm has to do with, you know, being licensed to carry out specific things with the government.
Has to do with, like, an occupational license, essentially. So if you're, like, a security guard, if you're a police officer, if you're in the military, you are carrying arms and doing it as a service, essentially a government service, he talked a little bit about, too. Yeah.
He says that's why you need the license, but if you're just going to bear arms, then that's your right. You don't need a license. That's the sort of the crux of what he's arguing, as I understand it, in court, and it's very interesting.
I don't know the exact date of that show, but if you were to go into the archives and
listen
to that.
Right before my original sentencing date, so I bet you it's like first week of September.
Basically
Thursday.
It's 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that is a very informational packed.
Interesting show.
I told a lot of people to go check that out, and I got some positive feedback about that show.
Yeah. What else, Dave?
So he gave me permission to post one of his recent messages that has all of his contact information in it, or like his email at least. And so I posted that at forum.shiresociety.com. Normally I would redact the email or whatnot. Mm. But he just said, go ahead and post it like it is if you want and put the contact information in there, no problem. So he's asking people to contact him. But again, forum.shiresociety.com. is where you can find the post that has his information in it and a little bit about his case.
Yeah, definitely one worth watching. Anything else, Dave, you want to share?
That is all.
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Brother Jay, good evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, before I get in my topic, since Dave really brought it up, I wanted to wish you the best of luck on Monday. And I would say, if I was the judge, I'd give you the appropriate sentence of one day.
Well, thank you. I that's very kind of you. So what were you calling about tonight?
Well, concerning U.S. Senator Menendez from New Jersey. And
who is this? Is this the guy that got in trouble for getting like taking a huge gold bribe, like half $1 million in gold?
I'll give you a brief one on it. Basically, is what it comes down to. He's got pending bribery charges, dealings with Egypt, for influence in New Jersey. Now here's what it is, and they did find that. So now this is supposedly $400,000 in cash. I believe that amount's a lie.
Hmm.
Also, they said gold bars, of which they said stuffed in a mattress. They didn't say the amount, but that's also probably not going to be. That's probably a lot more. Now here's the thing. The man publicly already said he's not guilty. Now, I think this was a poor choice. I'm going to tell you the reason why. This is Egypt. It's not looking good. Now, there is personal interest, because I am Ricky from the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. Now, there is a U.S. senator, a man by the name of John Fetterman, who has taken the stance that he said that Senator Menendez should resign. Now, normally
is Menendez a Democrat? Do you know, or
he is,
Republican?
He is.
Democrat.
So is Fetterman. But here's my point. In this case, Fetterman's probably he is correct. And you know what? He probably, he's a new senator. He probably knows plenty. And I know John Fetterman's history quite well. And the bad thing is here is he did the stupid thing of saying he's not guilty. And the reality is it doesn't look that way. In fact, but here's, you know, what's even funny.
Well, I mean, what senator isn't taking bribes from people? This one just got caught.
Well, this one was real bad. This was actually pinned on, and they see that there was influence in New Jersey. Now, here's the funny part, though. You know who came out in his favor? Get this one. Representative Santos, who has
I don't know who most of these people are. I mean, Rick, you've been calling in about these politicians, and they're just so boring. No one cares about these people. We all know they're corrupt. They're all corrupt. They're all on the take. They're all a bunch of liars. So what does it matter whether it's Santos or Menendez or Joe Schmo? I mean, they're all the same.
Here's my answer. Normally, I hate the you should resign thing, like in the case of Al Franken. He was definitely innocent. In the case of Menendez, he made a mistake by saying not guilty, because what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing for his
You didn't answer my question.
Saying it again. He looks guilty. You know, he should resign.
You didn't answer my question. I asked you, why should anyone care about this? You keep bringing up, in the past two nights, you've been bringing up all these federal politicians. Last night it was some Republicans. Tonight it's the Democrats. And you keep naming names as though any of these people matter.
Well, I'm going to say why it matters. I'm going to say why it matters. Because right now, there is a 51-49 majority with the Democrats. That seat's going to be open. I'll be honest with you. I think he's
going to
resign. Well, I'm just pointing it out. I mean, I think it's terrible bribery charges. I mean, very rarely somebody get caught.
That's the thing. He just got caught. That's the only difference between this guy and the other 99 senators. Ricky, thanks for the call tonight. I just can't take it. I can't take this politics. It's just so dull to me.
I just thought of another reason why New Hampshire exit would be so good. Don't we have?
We don't have to hear about this crap anymore?
Well, those two senators from New Hampshire, I believe they're both... Well, they're both bad. I know that.
They've always been bad. Yeah.
Was it Hassan, and I forget the other one's name. Or not, is it Hassan? Maggie Hassan?
Yeah, I think she's one. No,
Maggie Gene Shaheen's one.
Yeah.
And is Maggie Hassan the other?
I think so.
I was listening to NPR traveling in here today, and they were talking about those two, how they're, you know, just such wonderful commies.
That's what they are, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So that would help out everyone else, in the country.
Well, I mean, of course, at least when New Hampshire secedes, we don't have to hear about the rest of the 49 states and all their politicians, but we still have 400 state reps here in New Hampshire,
yeah.
So it's not like politics will be over when New Hampshire secedes. It'll just be more local. And that's at least better, because at least here in New Hampshire, you can meet these people, like the state representatives, the 400 state representatives. It basically breaks down to one representative for every 3,500 people. So there's a good chance that if you go to the grocery store, wherever it is that you live, you're going to run into the state representative at some point. High chance that that's going to happen. Like the one that is the rep for this area lives down the street from me. So, I mean, these are not people that are hard to find. They don't have staff members. They don't have, like, there's not a secretary who's standing in between you and the state reps here in New Hampshire. When you call their phone number, they're going to answer the phone. Sometimes it's their home phone number, and, like, their little kid answers the phone. You have to say, can you put your mom on or whatever? So they don't really have any meaningful staff, because they only get paid $100 a year here in New Hampshire to do that job. So it's
actually
totally different.
A Democrat state rep was heckled in our local little town grocery store for his, you know, pro-vaccine, pro-mask mandate stuff.
He should be heckled
and,
for that.
And a friend of mine, a local guy who I do some work with, he was all excited telling me about this. I guess he watched this about a month ago, and he didn't remember the girl's name, but it was some woman.
Is there a video of this, or
it happened
in person?
He just saw it himself.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, you should have got a video. He's like, I don't even carry my phone on me anymore because it's just not good to have it on my pocket all the time.
It is good when you can get stuff like that, though, because then you take the heckling and you take it to a new level, and then you make them a YouTube star.
Right.
And there's something to be said for embarrassing these people and making them feel uncomfortable for doing the things that they've done to people, the people that forced, you know, mask mandates or vaccines or whatever it was they were trying to force down people's throats. There wasn't a lot of that in New Hampshire, thankfully. It wasn't great here, but it wasn't, like, the worst place to be. But these people need to be shamed for what they did, and they need to feel like they don't want to come back to that job. That they're done with this. This $100 a year isn't worth it. I'm out at the end of the 2 years.
Well, nobody's doing it for the money. I can assure you for that.
No doubt. No, in fact, many of them spend more money on their actual campaigns than they're going to get paid from that position. And it's not really for the power, because 400 people, you don't really have a lot of power in that situation. These, in a lot of cases, the people who are the state reps in New Hampshire, they really are people, whether they're right or wrong, they really are people who think they can make a difference. They want to change things, what they consider to be for the better. And they're willing to spend their time. In many cases, some of them are younger. It's most of them, of course, are elderly and they're retired. But there are some young people. Jason Gerhardt is a good example of this. Yeah. He's a Free Stater. He's in his, I think, late 30s, maybe early 40s. He does construction for a living. So, but somehow he managed to fit in going to the state house, you know, a few times a week and being a state representative. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to do.
Especially difficult if you have kids.
I don't think he does.
No, but I know he doesn't have kids, but I know some state reps that have kids, and, you know,
it's hard.
Child care is challenging.
Yeah. So, coming back around to what we were talking about earlier, Jay, we were talking about this town in Ireland called Greystones, where apparently a good chunk, the story starts by saying that the entire parent population got together to agree to not buy smartphones for their kids until they were in secondary school. However, later in the story, it says that more than 70% of the parents in this lady's, Anja Schubert, who's lived in the town for 25 years, said she signed up. In her daughter's class, she said more than 70% of the parents signed up for this agreement to not buy a smartphone for their kids. So that's not everyone, but it's a super majority of them, and that's still a pretty significant thing. And as they were pointing out earlier, when you've got kids that have peer pressure, if the majority of their friends have these things, then they're going to want them. But if it's a small minority or none, then they're not going to have the same level of peer pressure.
The parents that are most resistant about getting their kids off the internet devices are the ones that are heavily addicted to the internet devices themselves.
Sure.
So we're seeing in America a lot of, I believe the term is called Hollywood dad syndrome. So this is where a mom is not letting the kid use a device.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid goes to dad's for the weekend, and Sunday evening through, you know, into Tuesday, the kid's an absolute monster. Mm-hmm. And there's like all kinds of videos on the internet of these moms like, look at my son, my 8-year-old boy. He was fine on Friday, comes home from his dad's, and what did he do at his dad's all weekend? He played
internet
Call of Duty or whatever. And
then he's jonesing when he gets back to, to mom's house.
So when we come back around, I'd really like to talk why parents are leaning on these devices for babysitters and pacifiers.
Yep, I want to get back in. I want to get into that. Plus, there's more here about what happened in this town, which is in Ireland. It's called Greystones. We'll give you some more information about how things went, because apparently they did move forward with this. So what's it been like? And it is voluntary, so I do appreciate that about it. This is Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is ShopSuperTea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.